It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Fox News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcast with Fox News Chief Political Anchor, Brett Baer.
On this edition of the Brett Baer Podcast, I sit down for a one-on-one interview with West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin to discuss the debt crisis and how lawmakers from both sides of the aisle can come together to strike a deal on the debt limit. All this and more on this episode of the Brett Baer Podcast. Joining us tonight, West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin. Senator, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Brett.
You have an op-ed out in the Washington Post. Stop the political blame game. Start cutting the debt. Yeah. You say, here are the facts. Our national debt was $14.1 trillion February 2011. In the decade since, we've added nearly another $20 trillion to that total. With bipartisan enthusiasm, that's over $94,000 for every American. It sounds to me like you're saying Democrats should negotiate on this debt ceiling.
Well, we should be talking about it. I mean, it's a time to recognize when you have a debt ceiling and you have to raise it. We've accumulated a lot of debt, and we have to pay our bills. First of all, we know we're going to pass the debt ceiling. We're not going to default. So let's get that out of the way. But in doing that, let's agree to take seriously the obligations we have. We're writing checks to kids our children can't cash, Brett. And we go down $94,000 per individual in America. It's unbelievable. And with that, there's no end in sight. There's things that we could talk about that we could agree on. And I knew that if Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden got in a room together, like-minded, wanting to do something, that they'd have a good conversation. Let's see where that goes. First of all, President Biden in 2011, he was the person who led the charge, you know, on the debt restructuring. And for 2 years then, we had basically a reduction in our debt. Then it took back off again. So the right persons are there if they want to talk and make it happen. I don't think we should have theatrics as far as are we going to raise it or not. Yes, we will. But should it have also some commitments and obligations? Are we going to take this seriously? Are we going to start basically? There's been one theory set out. We had the military come to us and says, you know what? If you just did your job on time, you got your budget done September the 30th, there'd be anywhere from 5 to 10% savings just in the military. And the reason for that, it's basically, you know, you're saying you have a contract for someone to come service your electrical equipment or your furnaces. The contract runs out. Then you call them after the contract ran out and you says, can you come fix my furnace? I'll guarantee that one visit might be as much as the entire contract you had. That's what we're talking about on a much bigger scale.
House Republicans have been calling for regular order for a long time. It hasn't happened. It's been
under either side. Yeah.
But they're calling for it now.
Okay.
Do you think that Senator Chuck Schumer will go along with that regular order in the Democratic Senate?
Well, let's just say that it's not behooving to the leadership, Democrats or Republicans. For the four members, you have a Republican minority leader, or basically the ranking member of Mitch McConnell. You have the majority leader, Chuck Schumer. You have the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy. And then you have the Hakeem Jeffries as far as the minority leader. Those four have a tremendous amount of power when it comes. And basically, when there is no budget, it comes down to an omnibus bill at the end. And you see this $1.7 trillion or whatever. If we just committed them, basically, putting a freeze, no more than 1% increase over the next 10 years, it's been said that could save $1 trillion.
You know, not touching Social Security and Medicare, both sides are talking about that. But in reality, those are the biggest movers of debt.
Not really when you look at Medicare. First of all, we have $4.8 to $4.9 trillion, okay, of mandatory spending. They call it mandatory spending, non-discretionary. We don't have any discretion over it. How much have we moved into that protected arena in the last 5 years? Social Security and Medicare has been around for a long time. We're going to protect that. In my state alone, scaring people that basically that's their lifeline. Through most of America, and rural America especially, that's the lifeline those people have. We're not going to change that. What we're going to basically is look at how we're able to protect it. Because let me tell you what they're not telling you. If we hit the hard stop and there's basically we're short and we don't have the cash efficiency, there'll be automatic cuts we can't control. So we're protecting Social Security and Medicare.
We'll hear more after this.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
You write in this op-ed, several presidents, both parties, played a role getting us here where the debt is.
Yeah.
While I am proud that the Inflation Reduction Act last year directed $300 billion to deficit reduction, the largest down payment in decades, we must do more.
First time in 30 years.
Problem is that the student loan payment, right after that, Department of Education estimated that over 10 years, the program cost on average $30 billion annually. 10-year cost in terms of reduced cash flows into the government will be roughly $305 billion. That was a few weeks afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of erased any deficit reduction that you were
anything
touting.
Anything we did took it away immediately. You know, we had a tremendous discussion about this today, student debt. We talked about basically what's one thing that we could do in our school system all the way through it is financial literacy. These students, you know what I have in my office working, when they went to get their Stafford loans, the only question was asked to them, what's your family income? Well, this is how much you qualify for. They didn't say that basically you have deferred payments, and if you don't, you have a debt hanging with you with accrued interest afterwards. That's all. There was nothing trying to basically dissuade someone from taking. You might be qualified for $12,000. You might only need four for the college. They'll take all 12. We're not doing anything to suppress that. Now we're talking about, okay, let's just defer it. Give it away. That's not right. It's not fair.
But your party voted for it, and so it eliminated that deficit reduction. Do you feel like to get you to that vote, which was part of the deal to get this permitting bill that you wanted to have passed, that you somehow got swindled on that thing? Do you feel that? Because so far, the permitting bill has not come through.
Right. Permitting bill is not. I still look at what we are accomplishing with the Inflation Reduction Act. Basically, this administration, my administration, your administration, our administration has sold that as an environmental bill. They never told people that that bill was designed to be basically energy security. We need a robust fossil fuel industry for the next 10 years. And we do it better and cleaner than anywhere in the world. We're going to replace a lot of the dirtier fuels that's being produced around the world. If you want to help the environment, that does it. But to not denying and thinking it's only going to be for renewables and nothing for fossil, we can't be the superpower of the world and maintain this status if we can't be independent ourselves and not even help our allies around the world.
So is your permitting bill going to come up at all?
I think the permitting bill, and I've talked to Kevin McCarthy about that, and I think it'll come up starting in the House side and coming over to us from that standpoint and see if we can massage it to get 11, you know, they're going to get me, the Democrat. They got one for sure. We had 40 Democrats voted for it before, okay? We only got 7 Republicans. So if all 49 Republicans vote for it, you need 11 Democrats. So I think that's what will happen, where it comes from. We all realize it's got to be done. If not, we cannot build what needs to be built and not deliver the energy the country needs.
A couple more things.
Sure.
What do you make of this Chinese spy craft, the balloon?
Crazy, isn't it?
And yeah. Are you
well,
worried?
Well, now that we're hearing more things, sure, you're worried to a certain extent. You're saying, why didn't? We're going to have a briefing, a secured briefing. Why didn't they take it down sooner? Why did they let it go clear across the United States? I saw the path and trajectory. I knew where they were going. Fairbanks, and it went down to Montana. It was on down. Some of the most strategic areas we have. Those of us who are on armed services, been on intel, I know what they might be looking for. Now, did we gather more information now that we shot it down to where we can secure it and retrieve it once they've collected? It's nothing new to the Chinese, what we have. But for them to be able to be that brazen and thinking we're not going to. So until I see Thursday, why did we wait? Why couldn't we have done it before they got there? Or did we get more information after and did it? The only thing I predicted when I heard about this, that balloon will never make it back to China.
You think President Biden's running for re-election?
I don't know. It's teed up, Brett, to say, let me thank all of you, my Republican friends, my Democrat colleagues.
Even after those speeches about extreme MAGA
it's
Republicans.
Awful. It's and awful, but I'm saying reset it. Okay, today's a new day. Recalibrate. We could not have accomplished. Everything they're taking credit for could not have been done without our Republican friends working with us. Take credit for that. Don't just berate people basically because they happen to have an R or a D by their name, depending on what side. That's what America is sick and tired of. So he could set that. He's the leader of the free world.
There's this group, No Labels, that's getting on ballots across the country. There's word that you might be meeting with them. Is that true?
Well, I've been a member of No Label since it started in 2018.
No, as far as like a potential.
I have not on that. I've known about talking to people, but I haven't had a meeting.
So if it was Biden and, let's say, former President Trump, would you consider running?
Let me tell you what I'll consider doing. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we bring America together. Whatever it takes to make sure this country comes together, we cannot continue to say, hey, Brett, pick a side. What side are you on? There's only one side, the American side, Brett. And that's what we better make sure. I'm concerned about our love of our nation, our love of democracy. We're not teaching it. We're not professing it. And no one's pushing it. And that scares the bejesus out of me.
Senator, we talked about it a lot. I mean, we are always one election away from solving the big things, it seems. Do you see hope up there behind us? Or do you see partisanship?
Well, I see reality. It's what I've got to deal with. That's what I've got to deal with, Brett. I see reality. But until we basically get like-minded people, I want to start a group called Americans Together. I want to start this group and say, listen, let's look and recruit like-minded people. First of all, I'd say, Brett, you're a tremendous guy. Would you run? And if you run, would you just run one term? Because if you do the right thing, you'll probably get defeated after one term. You okay with that? We got to find some commonalities of what's our purpose of serving. John Kennedy said public service is the noblest of all professions, but we're having a hard time finding noble people.
Senator, we appreciate the time.
It's always good to be with you, Brett.
All right.
Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.